Here now.
Screen far away.
We've got our technical issues taken care of. Maybe we can call the meeting to order. First item is to approve the agenda. Those of you looking at it, take a look. Anybody have any questions, other topics they'd like to add? If not, we'll proceed with the agenda the way it is. And next item would be then to take up the minutes from actually the August meeting, July meeting. Why is this saying July 16th?
Oops, it's August.
It should be August, right?
It's August. It just.
All right.
I guess other than, I didn't even notice that, other than the date changes, I think that was in the first paragraph, or number three where it says
July 16th, yeah. We just reused the template.
Other than that, I didn't see any.
That should still be July 16th meeting, the minutes that you approved at the August meeting.
Yeah.
It's just that we didn't change the template on the date and time at the top.
I didn't catch that when you sent it out before. Otherwise, the rest of it's the same, right?
I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the minutes? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The minutes stand approved. Why don't we go to subcommittee reports. First subcommittee report relates to our trusted submitter. That's kind of a combination of a whole lot of things, isn't
it? Well, I'll say we might as well wait until we get to the ECRB, because really nothing outside the trust of the ECRB.
Okay. And that's where most of the action has been here in the last month and a half. Okay. Why don't we go to the County Recorder Subcommittee, and let me give an update about the schema discussion that we had 2 months ago. And Pam, I'm going to ask you to maybe help me a little bit to clarify if I'm misstating things. You might recall that we had a discussion about putting together some schema relating to the PREA 2.4.1 standards. And I think it was kind of indicated that it could be done relatively quickly, probably not as quickly as maybe I had thought at the time. And I think there have been some people that have had some work that pays real money to do as well that were going to work on this. And basically, from the discussion that I've had with Pam and with Dean Pass, they are going to get together, or at least Pam's going to get together with Larry Deline and Chris again to go over the document elements and attributes to make sure that we've got them properly identified, so that then Dean will write some schema, and the draft of the schema then would get submitted to all of our technology partners here so that they could take a look at and comment on. And we'll see if that would be ready then to be brought back to the commission for our November meeting. I think we had thought we would do it last month, and we couldn't have a quorum there, and we need to, you know, still have some time to get that finished so that we can bring it back here, and hopefully we can have that ready for for the November meeting. That's kind of where things are at. Pam, can you add or clarify, or did I miss anything?
No, that sounds good. The only thing I might want to add, and I'm assuming Dean's not there.
That's correct.
With this schema, I'm not really sure what was decided, and Dean and I keep exchanging emails on this. If we're doing a schema per document type or just one general schema.
We're back on that old topic again, aren't we?
Yeah. So, and without Dean here, I don't know what his thoughts are. That's
because, Pam, there is significantly more work for one for each document type, correct?
Correct. But if the purpose of the schema was to enforce business rules that the technical people could use to validate the XML coming in, then it would almost have to be by document type. Otherwise, it's like the PREA DTD, where it's very generalized to accommodate all possibilities. The spreadsheet that I'm going to do with Chris and Larry, that will be per document type. We'll identify what is required by each document type.
And I think that's what Dean intended to do then, Pam.
Okay.
And I think a lot of them will be the same.
Yeah, I think it'll be, you know, the deeds will be a little different. There'll just be some tweaking to do for each document type.
Right.
But then is that a realistic goal by next meeting then? If that's the intent is by document type, it's a fair amount to do between now and then on a volunteer basis.
Mm-hmm. And with Thanksgiving?
I think for Chris and Larry and I, we can get it done. It would just be, you know, sitting down and doing it for a couple hours. It shouldn't take that long. Because a lot of it will be across the board, like return to. That'll be consistent for every single document. Prepared by, consistent for every single document. So, you know, it's just the reference information, it's the consideration amounts, just those little oddities between documents that we'll have to sit and discuss.
Yeah. And from what Dean told me, that when he gets to it, it isn't going to take him long to do, is what he told me, Pam.
Oh, okay.
I did call and talk to him after the last email that you sent, just to discuss that I thought that we would be best to take the time to get it done and not really, you know, take the time to go over all the detail at the commission level. And he said that being the case, he wasn't going to come down today. He said in the future he would like to participate. He'd like to call in. And then we had a discussion about maybe some other changes we might make about where we meet, so we might be able to accommodate more people calling in so that we don't have to require everybody to be here to be able to participate, and we can should be able to deal with that technology hurdle for the future. But anyway, that was his comment, and he did tell me, he said, Kniff, if you would finally let me roll out my new indexing system here this coming weekend, maybe I'd have some time to work on something else in my life. So that's kind of where it was at. So he's probably going to have more time after this weekend when we roll out our system, and he said he'd have time to get it done. So,
okay. He always sends me emails late Friday night telling me what needs to be done. So,
yes, Dean's love notes.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, anybody have any questions on that? Those of you, okay, Bill and, you know, David and the rest, I want your comment and input, but I think let's get something down on paper for you guys to comment on and react to and take a look at, and then we can have that discussion among those of you that are more technically oriented than perhaps those of us on the commission. And I think that makes the best use of your time and probably the best use then of our time as well, getting that back from you.
Okay.
And maybe I can even talk to you if you're around today after the commission meeting. I saw an email, and I didn't get a chance to call Dallin and talk to him, but I'd like to chat a little bit with you,
sure,
David, if that's possible.
Yep.
That'd be great.
If I might add that I'm always willing. I am on the PREA XML committee.
Right.
As a co-chair, I'm always willing to help out, review the schemas that come up, et cetera. So.
Yep.
Right.
please involve
that, me. That's fantastic, and I appreciate that very much, and very much excited that you're willing to take the time to work on that. So that's very wonderful. Anything else? Anybody else? No? Okay. Chris, I don't think I talked to you about this, but maybe you want to give a little update on the data collection and so forth that we've been trying to get straightened out here with our technically challenged data reporting efforts.
It is technically challenged. I have to take the data and then download it to an Excel spreadsheet, and it doesn't sort 08 from 09, so then I have to sort it typed out and put it into, okay. So I finally have all of 2008 in there. I sent out an email to all 87 counties to check their data and make sure it was correct before we say this is the official data. And I'm still getting emails back, please correct this, please correct that. So I've been focusing on 2008. They are diligently entering 2009, a majority of the counties, but I do have to do some follow-up phone calls and get them going too. So trying to do that around all my other work has been a little bit of a challenge lately. But it's coming along. Should have something, probably two reports next time.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Thank you, Chris. And why don't we go to item number 5, Model 2 Recording Standards Release to Public.
The press release was sent out in August, and then we asked folks to then send it on to their different organizations. So, we sent out the press release to, I don't know how long the list was, I would say venture like 200 or so media sources or something like that, maybe.
Like around
about. I'm sorry?
I think there's like 400 on that list.
Okay, 400.
A lot of it might be schools for me, so.
So we sent it out, and we had not had any comments back ourselves.
I got one telephone call from a Finance and Commerce newspaper, and they wanted to talk about it and wanted to know what it meant because they didn't understand what it really meant.
Mm.
And I didn't see anything in the paper or anything about it, but I don't think they were as excited about it as we are. Let me just put it that way. And I don't think they see the significance of it in terms of for their readership, at least at this point, which I was sort of surprised about. But anyway, they did call and ask about it, what it meant, and then explain to them and stuff. So that was the only call I got from anybody as a result of it.
It did go out to MLTA. And they're all of their groups. And then also, maybe through your email, it got picked up by the Title Report, which is kind of a national industry magazine that goes out monthly. So that was picked up there as well. So, and I think it went out like 2 or 3 days after the press release to all the MLTA members.
There was also a kind of a press release notice that we can probably thank Kay Ruckey for that PREA put out, and it did mention the fact that Minnesota had adopted the standards.
It came from the Title Report is where they picked it up off, and then they brought it to us to clarify. We tweaked it a little.
Yes.
From the Title Report to make it more understanding what the Title Report had. But yeah, we're not been on our list server to our whole organization.
Right. Bill?
Yeah, I don't know how well the recorders, how clear the message was to all of the recorders, because I've gotten calls from several of our customers that, county customers, that were surprised to learn about it. Hmm. So, I don't know.
It went out on our listserv, so.
Really?
Yeah. So they should have been aware of it.
So some of your customers who are our colleagues were a tad bit surprised about
it.
They don't understand the basics.
So I don't know if that should be the, let's see right here, somebody who should clarify or further expound. But
I pray tell, I'm sure that you tried to do that with any of those that asked you.
That was only 2 or 3. So. Right.
Dave, did you get the same thing at Simplify?
Yeah, I've been working with TriMet and the other vendors like
right.
But we've heard the same thing. Everybody knows that they were kind of approved, but not quite sure.
What does it mean?
Like, can I really add these doc types, or do we need to wait for the ECRB stuff, or, you know, what exactly is going on? I think there's a little bit of confusion.
Okay. Take it, electronically record, and paper no more. Well, let's have the recorder group talk about what do we do to get out to our colleagues then better, because that's important that they know that, yes, the green light is on. We need to be able to move forward with it, and we'll talk about the ECRV here in a couple minutes, because that, I'm sure, is going to monopolize a little bit of time here as we go forward. But
yeah,
okay.
Mike, I think some of the confusion is surrounding deeds versus non-deeds.
Yeah.
So maybe if that was made a little bit more apparent that, yes, you can do mortgages and powers of attorney, but no, we're still waiting on deeds, that might be a little bit clearer.
Yep. Yep. So let's take up item number 6. This is one that has kind of gotten carried over here a couple of meetings, and it's a topic that has been with us, I guess, ever since we got going here, and that's the process to do vendor validation for recording systems that may be used by counties so that people could record documents with a Model 3, an all-electronic document for the three types that we have approved. We don't have at this point a methodology to do that, other than we do have some of the sample documents that were left over from the past. We don't have money to pay for it, and I guess I thought I would just throw out for discussion. To me, the only options that I see available for us to be able to do this right now is to either ask the vendor whose system is asking to be validated to pay for it, and or to ask county or submitters one way or another to pay for it. I mean, that's basically what I see as the possible choices of where you may turn to get money to pay for it. The second major thing is I'm not exactly certain what the cost would be to do something like that. I know when we did this, when we had a task force and we had the systems that did get certified, and I'm going to ask Bill, you might remember, and Kay, we did ask the counties that were being certified to pay something for that certification process to that old task force, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Did we not?
No.
Maybe we didn't.
That's all. I actually had money.
No, we had money.
We had money.
The conversation came up that would, could be a possibility as we were moving into the, this commission.
Into the future?
Into this commission, when we thought we didn't have any money, but there was no dollar amount, there was no final decision.
I think the issue came up about how many times do you get a bite at the apple to go through the validation process before it could be certified to work, and if you had to go through a second or a third time, should there be a cost? That's kind of what I remember the discussion centering around. And I'll be honest with you, I don't remember what the decision was. That's why I was...
And I didn't know that when the first 4 or 5 counties came through in the original pilot...
On the pilots.
Then there's money to burn, you know. And
yep.
So there wasn't any cost for them at that.
But at that time, we had systems, Trimans validated, and it didn't make any difference whether Triman, I think it was Renville, where you had it... validated that, so you could use Trimin in any county. The Fiddler system got validated in
Dakota.
Was it Dakota? Were they the pilot? Yes. And so Fiddler's was validated to be able to use them in any county.
Right.
WCI's got validated in Rosso, if I remember right.
Yeah.
So theirs could be used anywhere. And then we had our own kind of standalone system in Hennepin. And that one got validated. Those are the ones that I remember.
Yes,
I think right.
That's it. Those were that's it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that Rosso actually did it.
Yeah,
did they?
They did.
Yeah.
I know he.
We did. We found one.
It took a while. Yeah,
it's just somebody who happened to die.
Yeah, I think we honestly, I think we get about 6 a year, so we just had to wait till one came in.
Anyway. Well, those were the ways that I saw, at least with the funding situation that we're at right now. It's either asking the vendors to pay for it, the customers to pay for it, or the counties to pay for it. And those seem to be the three options. And
well, and really kind of we'd almost have to back up a little bit to figure out what the cost is. We'd have to figure out the who. The
yes.
Who it would validate, then we can get, they'd have to tell us what the cost is, and then we could kind of go from there, but that's the rock and the hard spot we're at right now. It's the only way. The funds have to come from some other place to get this validated.
Right. Now, that doesn't hold up being able to do Model 2 recordings for anybody. But if you wanted to be able to have the ability to do Model 3, you'd need to get validated in those counties that don't use one of the systems that's already been approved. Yes?
You just answered my question.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's been part of the confusion out there, is people think that you have to be validated for Model 2.
There's confusion about that?
Well, LaFarley, I think they ran, their system ran through, Janine ran something through to make sure it would go through. I don't know, there's a connection there, and that's only Model 2. There's, I don't know what the name of the system is, Joe Montana's system.
CSA, isn't it?
Janine, I think, has told
CSA.
Joel on more than one occasion that he has to have his system validated in order to be able to do Model 3, but that the validation process that we've approved to put in place for Model 2 is kind of being done by the counties on an individual submission basis, much like what you might be doing with paper. So that he doesn't need to worry about that for doing Model 2. But I think he's been out there, from what I hear, in advertising that he has a certified process. Come and use my certified process. That's what kind of I've heard from.
That's true.
Janine, and yes. Janine has talked to him on.
And that's throwing some confusion out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She has kind of been our commission liaison with Joe, and I know she talked to him at our summer conference and explained that to him again.
And who is Joe?
He has a indexing system that I'm guessing maybe 6 or 7 counties in western part of the state are using.
Gotcha.
It's a land record index system. So.
Okay.
So you're telling me we need to maybe get another communique out to our colleagues related to Model 2 validation versus Model 3 validation, huh?
And Mike, have you had requests for Model 3 validation from other counties?
Joe Montana has asked.
Okay.
That was one of the first things we talked about here. He's wanted to have his system validated. He's willing to do whatever it would take to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And we just haven't had a methodology in place. Pam, have you got any good friends that might be able to do something like that, that, you know, might know what they were doing and give a ballpark idea of what it might cost to do something along those lines? Because you probably know better than any of the rest of us what we did before.
Yeah, I got lots of good friends. there's a couple that I could probably talk to see if they would be willing to do that, and you know, again, they're all working, so it would have to be done outside of their work job.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can put out some feelers and see.
Because if we did that, if we got to at least one or two people we know who could do it, then Pam could help bring them up to speed on what the requirements are.
Mm-hmm.
We'd at least know what the cost was.
We'd have to know the cost to see what it would take to be able to move forward.
And then we'd see if we still have willing people that want to go through that process, right?
Right.
Isn't that kind of how we step through this? Because if it's $50,000, maybe he'd say no. You know, it's not worth it, and I don't want to do it today.
Right.
But it is something we're going to have to get to.
At some point, to find what the yep. dollar figure is.
Yep. So is that something, Pam, that you could have some, you know, maybe a who and a ballpark cost for us for the next meeting?
Yeah, that, and we're just talking level 3, right?
Correct.
And
yeah.
assignment? Well, just the...
For those 3 document types, Pam.
Okay, just like we had done before.
Just like we had done before.
Okay, yeah. I can get something together.
Who, what, and how much are the 3 questions, I guess.
Maybe how long.
Yeah. Who, what, how much, and how long. Okay. Anybody have anything else on that topic? Why don't we proceed to move along those lines then? And thank you, Pam, for being volunteered to offer to do that.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
I'm not coming back to the office.
Well, why don't we get on to item number 7, the ECRV update. Jeff, I'm going to maybe, you're the chair of the subcommittee that we appointed,
sure.
And why don't you kind of give us a little update? And I see we've got Teresa Mitchell from Dakota County, and we can maybe call on her to kind of give us a little taste of things, too, here. So.
Well, from our last, I'll gladly do that, but again, Mike and Teresa, please jump in, and Bill, Kay, where we worked on this. From our last meeting, the idea was to essentially come up with some type of workaround for the ECRV. So, most importantly, so we could e-record, but maybe we could assist the Department of Revenue in 2 things. One is initial training to a lot of the submitters, and 2 was for the support end of things. And so we met, Mike, myself, Bill, Kay, and Janelle, and Larry, and talked about how we would do that. We came up with some ideas. We're really thinking about a statewide process. We had some training ideas, and with the help of MLTA, we thought we had some good go-forward plans. And then as far as the support side, listing the counties and phone numbers for support, we thought would really help with the Department of Revenue and some of the worries they had. We probably went maybe too big, too fast to, as we talked to the Department of Revenue, we discovered there was some issues with releasing the ECRV to the whole state, and I think everyone knows it was essentially do it electronically, but print the copy out, and if it's paper, you send it paper. If not, you would just put the ECR. If it's e-recording, you put the ECRV number in and send it off. The issue is that the, and Teresa, please correct me where I'm wrong here, is that the paper version today and the electronic version aren't 100% match between the two. And so the way that the assessors put the information into their systems may be different, and they may not be able to take the printed version. Am I correct that they may not be able to take the printed version of the ECRV and take it into their individual assessors' systems? And so that kind of got to be the issue. So what in our last meeting, what we decided to do was maybe we would then try to scale this back and only look at the e-recording counties today to try to get that going. So a smaller group, and then really that was kind of the next task for Mike, and I think he was going to work with Chris and various other people to say, okay, if we went to, Hennepin County, we'd go to Mike and talk to Mike, and we'd also talk to the assessor and the treasurer and say, if this is the way you received it, could you work with this format. And essentially what they would have to do is we would send the number with our e-recording, which we've allowed for in Model 2, and then the assessor or the recorder or somebody on that end would have to either take up printing that back out as three copies, or the submitters might have to print three copies and send. I mean, there was some variations. That I don't think that made as much of a difference one way or another as once it got to the assessor, could they look at this document and do what they needed to do? Because there's extra areas that they write some things in and that aren't allowed for. They're just some slight variations. So, again, I think the overall strategy is still move forward with the training, move forward with any help the counties can give on the support side of things, but it would be on a smaller basis. So if an e-recording county said, the assessor says, no, I can't take this, then you probably couldn't e-record deeds there at that point. If Mike says, yes, I can do Hennepin County and I can do level two, and my assessor says, we can work this out, then, yep, we'd be able to e-record in those particular counties for deeds. So I'm even thinking about our communication out. I mean, that might even get confusing to say, yes, it's everything, except no, deeds in Dakota only. But it might be deeds at other places in a little while. Just hold on tight and see what happens. Right. So that could be even more confusing. But I'll get back to some of the work that Teresa's done. We've been testing with the ECRV system. It is, in our opinion, everyone that's worked with it, it's very user-friendly. And it works real well, and they've been very quick to make adjustments. I've noticed they've already made the adjustments on the tabs and various things. So there's, from a user's point of view, it works very nice. Then once you go to print, it's a nice. You have your options of a XML, a PDF, and a HTML file. You can print it in any version that you want. So it is. It's a very nice system. It works well. Gives the state deed tax on your receipt, which is also a nice benefit for us submitters. The system is very good, and maybe that's why we probably jumped so quickly to move to that. But again, with Dakota as well, that is moving along, and maybe Teresa can talk to that. And we're going to start with the test group as of November 2nd. So I don't know, Teresa, you want to add something at this point?
Sure. I'll ask a question as well as it relates to the idea that the committee's working on. But we are planning to go live November 2nd with U.S. Recordings, Burnett Title, and Dakota County Abstract. And barring any showstoppers that we determine in the next 2 weeks, that is going to happen on November 2nd. And then we will see how November goes. And our plan then is starting in December, we would open it up to all Dakota County submitters for ECRV. We anticipate those first three title companies will probably be feeding in about 20 to 25% of our ECRV, maybe even close to 30% of our ECRVs recorded in the county. So that first month, we're going to be all the way up to 30%, probably close to 30% of what we're ultimately, hopefully, going to get 100%. A question I have relating to the e-recording counties, I'm wondering how that overlays with our early adopter list in ECRV, and if there are some similarities with those early adopter counties in ECRV and e-recording counties. I don't know if that's something we can compare.
I think it's close, right? If it isn't 100%, it's very close.
Well, you're saying all the early adopters are e-recording. There's lots of e-recording that aren't part of the early adopters.
Right, right, right.
Okay.
But that would be a good subset.
Yeah.
Of course, I know it is. So maybe with the possible exception of Larry. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So far as I know, he isn't. Isn't he on the list to be an early adopter?
Yes.
And he's not at this point.
Right.
He's got a been out for a system, but he has got it in there. So.
And then as far as us e-recording with Dakota with ECRV, I don't think we had said that we would try that yet in November. But I mean, when you guys are ready, we'll definitely try that as well. just using the number instead of the whole document. So that could, we could do some testing, but once Dakota's ready for that.
To get our Joe Beckler involved with that decision. One question I did have, and or maybe just in addition to what you were saying about the challenges with a statewide rollout versus county by county, the other part of that is the Social Security numbers. How the electronic process handles Social Security numbers and how the paper process handles Social Security numbers, it's very different because when you submit it on ECRV, those Social Security numbers are stripped right away and then fed into the income tax process. Where on the paper, they get tore off that page and sent into Department of Revenue, into the income tax process. So that part of it, we're not sure if we if somebody is submitting an ECRV in a non-ECRV county, and then you're printing it out and then electronically making that part of the D package, how those Social Security numbers will be handled by property tax and income tax. So that was the other challenge that I think we talked about a little bit, but I just want to bring that up as well. Is I think the assessors would, you know, we're going to make ECRV live in the paperwork for a little bit until we can get our new tax system online. So I think that is an option for counties to go faster than maybe, a full ECRV process would allow web services to happen. So I might be getting too far off the mark of our conversation, but.
Well, and really, it's as far as the Department of Revenue goes, that's the issue they have, right, is pulling that Social Security number that's already out there. That would be an adjustment they'd have to make, right? Is there anything that the county assessor has to do? If it's not there, does it stop them from doing what they need to do?
The recorder's office would have to know and be trained in ECRV to go out there and accept, match that ECRV. Because until the county pulls that in, it's kind of living in the internet cloud. Until the county matches it, brings it in, and then they own it. The county then has responsibility to report that through back to the Department of Revenue and call it complete and validated.
But were you asking about the Social Security number specifically?
Right. That's what I'm saying is, will the county actually get the Social Security number off of the cloud? That they're just saying, I now have it, so now move it to
yes.
You know, essentially from here to here, but it never really goes to the county.
That's correct. Once the county matches it, they said a deed has come across the counter, mm-hmm. we've taken responsibility for it. That time, the Department of Revenue peels off the Social Security numbers.
So prior to being
County never sees the Social Security number in the electronic version.
Right. So, but as far as if you aren't an ECRV county and you were able to take, because anyone can go out there and reprint these things now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't really send a message to DOR that I own this now. There has to be some other means of relaying that, right? That's kind of the big workaround.
What I've heard, and this is the discussion I had with Jason after you and I had our last discussion, Teresa, and I understand it, I guess, maybe for the first time, is that if you submit something in the ECRV world, revenue doesn't have the ability to process it any longer in a paper world. All of the information and data has to go into that electronic CRV to be processed. So what Teresa and Dakota have agreed to do for the time being until their new tax system comes up, they're going to be double keying into the world. They're going to be keying into the new ECRV, the stuff that assessors do in every county or in their county. But they're also going to have to be keying it in manually into your CAMA system, your assessment system. And if your auditor does anything with it, they're going to have to be keying it into their system. And I don't know if your auditor does anything with it or not, but that's the duplication that's going to go on until the web service thing, exchange of XML, can take place. And Teresa's hoping that'll happen next year. I've told her that she's very optimistic because she thinks they're going to get a tax system up in 1 year. But that's a whole separate story that we don't have to worry about. But that's the concern that the state has, that if we go statewide with the CRV, the counties are going to have to then be willing to key in dual entry work for the time being. And Jason's concern and Revenue's concern is that's going to create a whole new set of issues that the counties are going to complain to Revenue about, of dual work at a time when they don't have what needs to be done. And he said, I'm afraid it will detract from our major objective, which is to get the electronic version rolled out and get the web services exchanging information back and forth, because we're going to be dealing with a whole separate issue that we'd never anticipated trying to deal with if we go with our workaround model, which I still think was a wonderful idea, Jeff, and so forth. But as a follow-up then to that discussion, Jason Parker asked if we could give him two things. Give him a list of counties that would be doing electronic recording. And number two, give me a rough idea of how many deeds we might be expecting in those counties for the first year. And Larry and I had a telephone conversation here earlier this week and discussed that we thought as a strategy, and we haven't gotten to that point yet. Mm-hmm. And Larry, by the way, is sick, and that's why he's not here today, so we don't have to draw on. But we discussed as a strategy to sit down and, first of all, we'll identify the counties that would want to do electronic recording model 2, including deeds, number one. We can do that from the county recorder standpoint. And then we thought we would sit down with submitter groups. Yeah, you know, Simplifile, the NGOs, the U.S. Recording, the outside groups that, you know, seem to have numbers that they're waiting to come on board with, to give us some rough idea of how many numbers, say, over a course of a 12-month period, we might be expecting to bring in, so that we can share that with revenue. They said if we did that, Jason thought that he can sell, moving ahead, with at least electronic recording in those counties that plan to still do electronic recording, which would then at least get us to being able to do deeds and all the other documents we've approved for Model 2 in those counties that want to do electronic recording. Mm-hmm. But the state, before kind of agreeing to that, has said we'd like to have a rough idea about numbers. They're scared to death about numbers.
And I don't think truly the numbers would be that dramatic. I mean, couldn't we use
the numbers that we already have? I mean, for that you're telling, or
I've got.
Well, we've got numbers that
for
we've got, but
yeah, for 09.
But we haven't collected. They want to know deeds.
Oh,
just
deeds.
Isolate
them
all.
Total number. They want to know deeds.
No. Oh.
And we have not collected document types of that nature.
No.
But that's not really the issue, because we need to know from those that are going to be submitting how many do they think you might be submitting.
Well, yeah. And they can pull that out of their systems easy. You just, you know, go in and do a search
We don't have that data, Chris. This is data that Jeff's got to tell me how many does he think he might electronically record in a year.
But that's what I'm saying.
Dave, you've got to give us a rough idea of, you know, what it might be to start with, and maybe at the end of the year what you might be doing. An NGO, if they're, you know, the same sort of thing. And Larry and I discussed, and that's what we kind of wanted to bounce off people, but that seemed to make the most sense as where to get the numbers for submissions to share with revenue is best to come from the submitters.
Yeah.
And we can get the number of counties that want to do Model 2 deeds, and we can give those counties to the state.
That's the easy one. The tougher one is the submission one, because it's going to ramp. It's going to snowball, and it's once people know that they're able to do it, the end submitters know that it's available, then they're going to start getting more. So it's going to be a kind of a little stab for you guys to come up with that number.
Yeah, and for us, it's not as, I guess, for us, because we're a service, a little different than maybe, because you'd have to go to the Burnetts and the Edinas of the world that, you know, would be willing to do that and say, okay, how many do you have in this county? Well, I mean, Teresa did the exact same thing. How many CRVs are you going to send this next month? And that's what we have to get back to her, and everyone could easily do that. And then say, okay, that's it. So if we can get a list of counties, we'll have a good idea of how many deed closings we have, sales that we have in those counties, and how many we submit. You know, and say if you had 30, you know, you probably could only truly maybe submit 20 at the beginning because, you know, of different reasons and whatnot. So it's probably wouldn't even be the full volume, because I know there's
That's what I'm saying. It's a fraction of the volume, but it's a changing fraction.
Right.
Right, and it's driven by what the market is and all that stuff. So, but I think we could be pretty close. I don't think that's that major of an issue.
The question in my mind is you know, pull our hair out trying to get a reasonably good estimate. What's the farmer going to do with that number? I mean, what if it's, was there some magic number where they're going to say nope? Or what?
Yeah, we want to be under that.
My guess would be they might have to do almost to a certain degree some type of manual pulling from one place to, you know, kind of the moving it from here to here. If that's the case, if it's 50 a month, 100 a month, I don't think it's a big deal. If it's 10,000, they don't have the manpower to do it. Right?
Well, they are going to tell the counties that are electronically recording, you are going to have to do dual entry on those deeds until you get fully implemented electronically and you have a web service exchange. That, they told me, will be a mandatory requirement if you're doing Model 2 and you're doing deeds with the ECRB. You'll have to do the entry into the electronic CRB, and it may not be the recorder's office, but it's going to be the assessor that's going to have to do that. I've kind of come to learn a lot more about your world, Teresa, here in the last 2 months. And because this document that we're talking about, CRB, is really not, it's not a recorder's issue. It's the assessor's. That's what it's all about in the state. And yet we become the collection vehicle. We can't record a document unless there's one submitted. And that's the policeman role that they always try and put our offices in. But yes, Chris.
I have two issues. You know, it's going to depend then, even though I'm e-recording in Model 3, I'm struggling with Model 2 just because I can't get the e-pay portion moving forward in my county. How am I going to get other departments on board to do what I need them to do in order to e-record? Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have that hurdle in a lot of counties, and what can the commission do, or what can I do to try to educate my fellow department heads on how important this is? And I've got a huge hurdle. I talk at least once a month with finance about, like, can we do some ACH pulls? Can we do this? Can we do that? And yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. You know, now we're going to add this ECRB and double keying, and, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, what do you see from your assessors group as far as how on board are they going to be with helping us out, you know?
I think it's a great point, and we have been trying to keep the communication open. It has been a long time coming, so I think there may be some skepticism that this is actually going to happen, and how, what is this going to do for workload? Is this really going to help assessors around the state? And that web services thing is a big deal, and some counties don't have the capabilities or the IT support to do that, and it would be a manual process for them. So we're trying to make this a very positive, you know, we hope to give a lot of good news. We meet several times a year. Our regions meet and assessors. We always try to give updates. So we do want to, you know, tout the benefits. And
but if it does happen at this, I mean, for us, we always like to pilot before we do anything. This is truly a good first look at what's going to happen without mass numbers coming in, right? It's their first look, you know, so they get a flavor of what's going on. I mean, the reality is, if it's a smaller county, are they going to get 5 or 6 a month? I mean, if you double key 5 or 6, I'd do that just to have the option of, okay, now I understand better what's coming. I've got a small pilot to work from. I can do this. I can talk. That I can do. If they say, no, it's 30, 40 a day, well, nobody has the spare staff to do to double key. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be huge. And then we kind of get our, we meet what we need to do as well, which is, we have the infrastructure and the framework out there to do it, you know. And now it's back to the submitters and say, okay, now it's ready. Go to it, you know. Now let's do this. So, right? Finding the willing participants in the county is going to be the first thing, and then right. We can go back to whoever and get.
And I think what's going to be critical is if you're going to do electronic deeds in your county. The recorder, the auditor, and the assessor's office all have to be giving it a green light because they are going to all have to work together or it won't work. And that's going to be the real key. And at least I had the opportunity to go to the assessor's meeting last week, and Jason made a presentation that Teresa was kind enough to really make him look good at.
I was driving a mouse.
But without that commitment that you clearly see, you know, is taking place in Dakota County from every one of the offices, you have one missing link and it won't work.
Exactly.
And that's what I think everyone that's, you know, has to be on board in order to say, yeah, we're on board with this, because it is going to require more work at the county level on somebody's part. And I don't know that there's any more uniformity about how information gets into CAMA systems than there is uniformity about how auditors' tax rolls get updated and that type of thing around the state. There's just no uniform way of doing it, and I'm sure there's all sorts of different ways that CAMA systems get updated, or they're not. Sometimes they come from auditor treasurer staff and combinations of assessors and auditor treasurers, and there may even be some recorders that are doing some of that type too.
I don't know what happened to my question, but how it got here from there, but what's your sense of that number? What I mean, in terms vis-a-vis what revenue is going to say, are they gonna choke if they hear 5,000 or 50,000 or 500?
I don't think they care as long as there's a commitment that the county knows they have to update that electronic CRV in the electronic world. They have to electronically update it. That's going to be the, from what I heard from Jason, that's the issue. And if a county's not willing to do that, you better not do electronic recording of deeds then.
Well, we
so then I go back to wondering why they want to know a number. If it's a rule, not a volume, if it's a rule issue, not a volume issue, I'm lost, Mike. I'm not sure following why we need to collect all this information.
Even if we do collect the information, I think that's something you need to ask the county too. I mean, that's something we can go back and, you know, I can get my auditor and assessor together real fast and say, is this a possibility? Is this where we're at? And, yeah, in our county, we probably could, because things are quieter in our county to do it. But it depends. They have to know how much work it is, too. I mean, I don't think our assessors and our auditors know, you know, where this is coming out to. But I think if we haven't brought the question forward to our own counties, how are we going to be able to answer any of these other things, too?
I think Jason's concerned as well. I think there's still something they have to do on their end, even though the county would do it. I think that they either monitoring it, maybe it's just purely monitoring the numbers or whatever. I got a sense that they thought they would have to do something on their end with all of this going
on.
That's
maybe not a volume question.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. Yeah. So if you had to monitor three that go through a day versus 200, you know, then, because I'm sure they're not sure, they don't know about what they don't know, right? Could something slip through the cracks here, and how does this move from here to here?
Their big concern has been whether or not they're going to be able to support the questions that come in. And so some of us have gone back, and Jeff kind of talked about it. Several of us have said, all right, you could put Hennepin County's assessor phone number out on your website. And if there are business calls about how to fill out the ECRV in Hennepin County, you can call this number. If there are technical questions about the system, however, they've got to go to the Department of Revenue. And that's the item, even when we've offered to allow all the assessors, say, or a county number to be able to answer and help customers go through filling the form out, and the counties are basically, every county we've talked to so far has said they'd step up to the plate and do that. Revenue is still concerned about how they'll go with the technical side. So what they're, I'm sure, concerned about is this rollout now in Dakota, where they get their feet wet with real live examples. And how many questions and calls are there going to be? I'm assuming very few, because you've got three organizations that have already been piloting with you for some time, and you've been working together. But it's still going to be how it goes and see where it's at. And then once they go live in Dakota, assuming you're able to do so maybe in December sometime, with anybody and everybody, you're then going to get a flavor, I think, revenue is, of where they're going to be in terms of questions and calls that are going to come forward. And I think they're going to find it's going to be far less than they're worried about. And that's my assessment of it. There are a few things that they're going to expect people to do differently than before. They want you to put down all the buyers and sellers, and they didn't always have to do that before. They want you to put down all the reasons why a sale may not be eligible for their sales ratio study, whereas you only had to put the primary reason down before. And that's all on the submitter side that they've got to do. There will be some questions about that, and that's what revenue thinks will come in and their concern. I think they're going to save themselves all sorts of issues, because if you don't fill out all the boxes, it won't ever be accepted. And that's probably the biggest problem that everybody has with those coming in the first place.
So if I'm understanding your answer, it is not a technical volume issue, it is a support.
I think that's what they keep telling us. Now, if there's something technical behind it, I don't know. They have told us they've got people now that have worked on the income tax electronic filing that are now working on this system, and that supposedly they've got some heavy hitters that have finally been assigned to this, and they've really made a commitment to step up to this.
Definitely on the technical side, they can do e-file for the whole state. Yeah. They're working on this, so they've done a great job. The only other thing I might be able to interpolate from what they're asking, what volume, is to sell it to the county assessors. So, you know, this is how many we would expect to be e-recorded in your county. Can you commit to double entering this many to get the county maybe on board faster? That's the only thing I can maybe determine if Jason wants to try to convince more counties to go this route for the e-recorded items. That might be a selling point. If it's, they can only expect off the get-go maybe 20 a month, maybe they can live with that. Is that kind of the impression you got?
Plus, there's a certain amount of setup at each county, right? Because they still have to do, it's not the straight ECRB system. Maybe it's literally just give them a new name and password to a different system, the assessor system, but it's not the same one that everyone else has access to. Maybe it is that small. I don't know. The other issue, and Chris mentioned, and we've talked about this for years, is one of the issues about they're not going to get a flood of business right away because of the dollars. There's not only does Chris's group have to handle it, we know that as well. Getting people to the agents to switch over from their check system to now an ACH or an electronic system doesn't happen overnight for a lot of people. Okay, now they have to tell their production systems, now don't produce a check, put it into this DL account, this is going to be pulled or pushed to ACH. So there is going to be some inhibitors that way as well, just because of the cash. We're doing it today with recording of fees, but, I mean, that's probably even one of the issues with MRT, and, you know, there's just more cash and more ways to move this around. So that's why I don't think it's going to be this great flood that everyone thinks it's going to be initially. I mean, after a while.
I think as these issues and technology starts resolving some of these issues and people start resolving some of these issues, it'll pick up. But in the beginning, it's not going to be, you know, a mad dash, because there's too many hurdles for the county to overcome internally itself in a lot of cases.
Right, because now you're collecting MRT money.
Right, you know, in an ideal world, yeah. Would I love to see the document just float and the fees just distributed into the proper, you know, and then the one ACH pull, for that transaction or whatever. That's what I'd like to see, but I don't think my vendors are yet. So...
So we knew this would take a little while.
Ryan, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Have you been able to hear most of this discussion?
Most of it.
What's your reaction to how auditor treasurers will react to all of this around the state?
Well, I talked to a handful of auditor treasurers, and their biggest issue was that the assessor was going to have an issue.
Yeah, that's what we kind of identified here, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's, but otherwise, for the most part, as far as the auditor treasurers are concerned, you know, it will come down to that, the facilitating of payment later on. But it, it really wasn't something that I saw a lot of fireworks about. I didn't, of course, I didn't poll everybody either. I picked a handful of people and called.
Oh, you called all the reasonable ones, huh?
Yeah, right. Yep, exactly.
Okay. Okay. Chris brought up the issue before, Ryan, about auditors, treasurers, recorders, and assessors working together in each county. You've been around longer than I have working on the statewide level. What's your assessment about the issues or the challenges that will be presented with that?
Well, I'd have to say that challenge today is probably less than it was when I first came on. But we still have that hurdle with ERER in and of itself to get to that point of everybody coming on board. Okay. And not that there is any group out there that is opposed to ERER. It's just been that, you know, we've been through this many times before, is that it was put out there and assistance solicited at different points when it probably wasn't ready for some of the input from those other parties. And so it's kind of, it's been around for quite a while. And for us to say, okay, now is the time, it's almost we have a little bit of that crying wolf issue right now. That, yeah, go ahead. Well, we're certainly going to be on board. Well, no, we really need your help now. Yeah, we understand. We've done this in the past. And so I think that's going to be more of an issue than anything.
When they start seeing them come across their desk, they'll know it's real, won't they?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. And, you know, and that goes back to even the ERER, the payment engines that are being looked at and how to facilitate some of that. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's even last year trying to get that geared up for that January conference. And now is the time that we have to get everybody to the table. And it is going to be, and maybe the payment engine is going to be the piece that brings everybody there. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe it isn't specifically the topic at hand, but it might be some other piece that can get everybody to the table at the same time, and then we can work backwards into some of the other pieces that we need everybody there. You know, the Recorders Association has put blood, sweat, and tears into this thing for years, and the delay, because now we do have a bit of a communication breakdown, or communication, not a breakdown, but you know, there's just that pause in there. Is nothing less than frustrating, you know, almost to the point of causing some ill feelings. And I've been racking my brain trying to figure out what is going to be the magical solution to this issue. You know, how can we, and I'm not coming up with any ta-da ideas at this point in time.
Okay. Well, why don't we move ahead and try and get answers for the Department of Revenue to their questions. So at least we give them some estimates here. Mm-hmm. And at least I can tell you Jason Parker and Gordon Falkman have told me that they are very supportive of trying to move forward with electronic recording in Model 2 in those counties that are able to do it and to do it ASAP. But they wanted me to know that the major issue is going to be at the county level, because there's going to be more work for counties that choose to do that because of what the assessors are going to have to do to get it into the electronic CRV, the information that they update that thing with. And Teresa, let me just ask you, I saw the one example. How much keying in is there into that state system? How long would it take me to do one of those, or how, you know, one of your people to do one of those updates? And I know there's probably no one single answer, it depends sort of response, I suppose.
the assessor is required, and maybe it's a combined effort in some counties, but between the auditor and the assessor, they need to enter things like the deed type that comes across, the assessed value of the property, the different classifications of the property and what those values are, year built of any structures, if there is any water or tax programs the sale is involved or the parcel is involved in. They have, the county then has to determine if the sale is good or not, but they do that on all paper. So those are that's the input that goes onto the electronic. However, counties already have in place a flat file, so they have to put this into their system. So their CAMA system that appraises value and then also sends a flat file to the Department of Revenue with all certificates of real estate value on it reported. So in addition to that, then this entry then has to be done on that website. The values, the classes, the reject code, the deed type. So that's where the dual entry comes into play. They have to get it into their system somehow, but now they have to enter it also on ECRB.
And an experienced person on a normal ECRB or CRB, is it 15 minutes? Is it an hour? Is it 5 minutes?
I wouldn't say an hour, but when it goes through several processes, because then it gets to appraisers who verify the rejection code. It also then has to be approved by a supervisor and then county final. That's kind of a status code to say, Department of Revenue, the county is done with this. The auditor, assessor is done with this. We're giving it to you then for the equalization process. These documents are used not only for the assessors to study the market, but for the Department of Revenue to measure our performance. So, you know, they're
so
the
it's
end.
It's not just a couple minutes.
No.
It's a piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a process that's probably done, if it were to one of the offices, they would have already said, yes, this deed has an CRB with it. So they're passing it through before that data is entered into the system. Anyway, I mean, if it comes to the auditor's office with a CRB, mm-hmm. and the auditor's office does a brief overlook at it, mm-hmm. and does a few things that they do with it, mm-hmm. which they don't need to give it a number now, or if they give it a number,
yeah.
it goes into our mm-hmm. office right away. So this is something that's done. Not, it doesn't have to be done at the same time that this document is submitted to the recorder. Some of this dual entry can be done, say, in the afternoon after the document's already done.
Even
so
weeks.
Or a week later or something like that. So mm-hmm. it's not something that has to be done in order to get this thing done. So this is...
Because your workflow today will essentially go through it the old way first, right, and then rekey in after everything's done, right? Taking that data and then saying, here's the ones we need to rekey.
We're going to do simultaneous entry. Okay. We're going to have two monitors and then put it into the system and then take it from here. We're gonna act like the web service.
Oh, okay.
We're going to take off, populate our system, take from the ECRB. You know what I mean? That's what we're doing. It's almost like a cut and paste. In some cases, we can, yeah. We had to do a little bit of programming,
okay,
because the ECRB collects it a little differently than it was in the paper world, so we had to do a small amount of programming. It was manageable for us, but we, you know, we have in-house support that's on top of it too. So it was great.
But that's the kind of thing Jason was saying, that every assessor system might be a little different.
Yep.
And so, I mean,
be willing to do that.
Willing. So that's our key point, is figure out the willing participants, and from there we can...
Move forward.
Yep.
And we'll be basically creating another pilot for the state in those counties that do electronic recording until revenue can get to those counties to make them capable of doing the whole thing like what Dakota's doing. But at least be able to move electronic deeds in a number of counties forward now. David, yes.
How many deeds are done statewide? Just regular.
If I had to venture a guess, I thought the number was like 285,000 in an annual. That's ECRBs filed. For some reason, that number.
285,000 CRBs are filed statewide each year.
I believe so.
Okay.
That was a 2005 number. Now, keep in mind, the market's down.
The peak of the market.
Yeah,
right. So probably cut it in half, I would agree.
What's Hennepin? Is Hennepin still
about? I would venture to guess that last year in the state of Minnesota there were less than 100,000 deeds filed. And I'd base that on my recording volume was about 238,000 last year, And if I take 10% of that, roughly speaking, 10% of my documents are deeds.
And what percentage is Hennepin of the whole state traditionally?
We'll just come up with the numbers right now.
Yeah.
Roughly somewhere between 20 and 22% of the state comes from Hennepin.
That was higher.
The what?
I thought it was higher.
Beads. We're talking beads, right?
If you were to ask what percentage of the state's mortgage registry and deed tax comes from Hennepin, the percentage is much higher.
No, I guess I was.
But volume wise.
But volume wise, no. And,
We just, we went from 12 to 13,000 CRVs back in the heyday. We're about 6,000 right now. So we are about 50% from that initial benchmark, which determined contributions statewide too.
Would be about 100. Say if you said 120,000 a year, 130.
Well, how many are going to be electronic?
No, that's what I'm saying. You said you got an early adopter of, 4%, you know, 2%. I mean, it would have to be e-recording, and they can take it. I mean, we're just not talking new numbers.
The highest for us that we've seen is just around 50% of the total volume in a county being electronic reporting. Generally, a lot of counties are around 10%, 10 to 20% of their total volume over a course of 1 or 2 years of the next stuff becomes e-recording.
Right.
So you can extrapolate from there and figure out
what the volume of deeds would be from that then. Yeah. But I find consistently anywhere from about 9 to 12% of my documents are deeds. You know, any given year, you know. But that's, you know, if you're using 10%, and I'm just speculating, that's probably true in most any county in Minnesota.
Just have one question. If I need to go sell this to my assessor, what tools can I tell them that the Department of Revenue is going to give them to assist them with how to do the data entry? And because that's going to be, I'm looking at very basic needs. Do they have an instruction manual or a template or something? Screenshots.
That's definitely something that can happen.
Okay.
I know Jason Parker has committed to doing a 4-hour training session at our assessor conference in May.
That's good to know too. Good.
That ought to be videotaped.
Yeah, and redistributed.
On YouTube or somewhere. Mm-hmm. On a website. Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, videotape it, put it on YouTube, and put it out there.
Because I need to reassure my assessor there's going to be that mechanism there.
Well, can he go into a website? Can he log into a website or her?
Sure.
And can they then go through a screen and can they key in information that they used to put on the sheet of paper?
That's what they will be asking me. How does this work? What does it look like?
Are you talking about Marcy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can help.
Is there a test system out there right now?
Yeah, right now we...
Like what we do for submitters,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Really it's a test system.
The county and the state has to, and this has been a hurdle for them to overcome, manage logins. They're going to have to manage 87 counties of logins. We have 40 people that we're giving unique logins to, so 40, that's just Dakota County. I know some counties that have less staff, but they're managing the login process. So they don't have a generic county-side login so people can go out and play it, but it's something I could, definitely ask and something we can start communicating to our assessors. Go out and take a look, poke around, you can't hurt anything.
Because they won't be able to say whether they're willing or not willing until they can have that
they
kind
see.
Of... Until they can see.
Well, you know, when they're talking a great deal of data entry here, I mean, it's talking dual entry, but, if you're only talking adding... if it takes you 10 minutes to enter that one now, it's going to take you 10 minutes to enter the other one, too. So you're doubling up a little bit, but you're not going to, the percentage of e-recording isn't going to be that great. So, in other words, there really is nothing in place for our assessors to go to. So if I went back to Martin County right now and talked to my assessor and my auditor and said, And I think they would be willing to do that. I know they would be willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nowhere that they could go or look right now to see what that site looks like. In other words, there's no site for them to go to, the assessor to go to do a land entry right now.
Not to look at the county side. Hennepin County has been given logins to start looking at it because they're the next in line. So it's a matter of giving some logins and some test data out there. And I know Jason's been very conservative in giving that out because when you get up there and you have questions, he doesn't want to be stymied with questions while he's trying to roll out these go-live dates. So I know he's been conservative, but I don't think that's I think that's a reasonable idea.
Okay, good. I mean, they have something to look at, mm-hmm. at least to get familiar with. You know,
that's why we do the demos and stuff like Mike went to, just to introduce.
I have a suggestion on that. Something we're doing now that is being very successful is, it is very possible if you have an interactive session to be doing a web conference or a webinar where everybody that's participating is seeing it and talking to whoever. And those things can be recorded, and then you can take that and post it on a website, and anybody can download that at any time they want to. And then they can review that. Mm-hmm. And we do that. That's how we train on our system. And it's very successful. And so if there's somebody that would be willing to go through an interactive session, for example, through web services, that's a great tool. And then it's recorded. Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have to have people there to train. It steps you through it.
So I would suggest something like that as a possible teaching media. And if there's any questions, I'd be more than glad to.
And the only people that could do it today is Dakota,
right.
And maybe DOR, but that's what he's saying. He doesn't want to do that thing. Well, but if everyone, say you brought Hennepin up, now you've got two sites that can help partner.
But see, the beauty of having a webinar is the fact that people can be on the phone watching,
asking questions. Yeah.
And all of those questions and all those answers are going to get are going to be recorded. And so, if you had a good representative sample of the assessors, you'd probably knock down 99% of the questions and have it recorded.
Yeah. I definitely think, early 2010 is going to be a prime time to do that and roll it out because we will have worked out a lot of the bugs. The county side will be stable because, just as another sidebar for your information, we're rolling out, go live with the submitters. That is, I have a lot of confidence in that side of the application. There's still development happening on the county editing side, and then there's a third piece, the state side, where they do their processing and how they measure the performance of assessors. So we're almost 1.5, I don't even want to quantify it that way, but there's work to be done on the assessor component and work to be done on the state component. Once those components are hammered out, that type of documentation I think is a great idea for communicating.
There's a way to help.
Mm-hmm. So, well, thank you everybody for the discussion, but that's kind of where we're at this point. So, David and Bill, I guess Bill, you don't have to come up with numbers. It's really David and Jeff. If you can, give a little thought to what you got for places that you record, and we'll get the list of counties that are going to be doing e-recording model 2, and then if you can give a little thought about, and I think it's going to be a guess. I mean, there's no penalties for guessing wrong on this. I will tell you what our group told Jason when we got into this to begin with. We said, if you were to roll this out statewide to submitters, we estimated by the end of the first year, 50% of all CRVs would be coming in electronically. And by the end of 2 years, we estimated maybe 80% would be. Now, that's a pure guess, but we thought it would be ramped out faster than any other electronic tool I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Because the submitters are just famished for getting rid of the typewriters.
I mean, we can. We can give you at any point the e-recording counties and what we do as far as deeds. I'll be honest. I mean, most our business around deeds is kind of like yours, about 10%. The rest is refis and releases and that type of thing. So,
But yeah, we, and if there's, if we can get a list of who you think might be willing participants, we'll tell you over the last 6 months, this is how many we've done. And then that, that's, we, I can get you that in about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. We'll get something together then for revenue here in the next couple weeks. And we'll be in touch to get you the list, and then you can give us your guesses.
Yep.
Well, thank you, everybody, for the good discussion on that topic. And, Teresa, thank you for coming today. I appreciate your input and all that Dakota is doing on this end. You can tell, in spite of having to work with Mr. Beckman, we appreciate it.
You're successful in spite of it.
Anyway, any other item to come on for the agenda? Any other questions, issues? I have one, and that is location for future meetings. One of the issues that we've been saddled with in this particular building is a lot of electronic things don't work in this building. Only Sprint cell phone service type works. If you have anything else, you're probably not going to be able to get in or out very well. And we're limited to one telephone call-in line, being able to come in for those that want to call in from the outside. So we did have a little tour over at the MCIT building, the Minnesota County Insurance Trust building, where the old task force met here for a number of years. It's about a block and a half down the way. There is free parking, and there are conference rooms there, and they do have the ability to have a conference phone, and we could get multiple callers coming in. And my concern is getting to be, I'm feeling bad that we're getting people that are, you know, David, you're flying in. I'd like to have you here, but I also don't want to put a burden on Simplifile yourself. Chris, you're coming from ways away. Kay, some of you, as we get to the winter months here, it's not as easy moving around Minnesota as it is at this time of the year. And I'd just as soon have the opportunity of you participating if, you know, we've got bad weather. And that would give us a better vehicle to be able to have multiple people calling in on a conference call. I think it would just be much, much more beneficial. So, if everybody's all right, I thought we would at least explore the possibility that maybe in November or December we might just try the building, see if we can get in, give it a try, and see if it works for folks. And then we can make a final decision after we've tried it a bit about whether that seems to make sense. Are people all right with that?
They have a nice big table like this one.
They don't have as nice a table. It's a little bit more generic, but
we need this space.
We've had a lot of these meetings over there.
We have.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we used to meet with that the old task force all the time over there.
Yep.
And I think it worked well. Sally and Diane were over this morning and took a look at it with me, and I think they thought it would work fine, and the price seems to be right, so it seems to fit into our budget. Anyway, Chris is going to make the query to get the specifics for us, but if we can reserve it for our November meeting, that's where we'll go ahead and try and schedule it. So, anybody have anything else then?
I'm sorry, but what was the communication plan for getting the word out to the recorders? Was that going to go through the recorders association?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we'll get a communique out for things like, you know, you can record all these documents now as Model 2. The only one that there's an issue or question about is the deed. Go ahead and get them going. Yep.
But also to mention that you have to work out the deed tax and mortgage registry with your...
Right. You've got to work with the auditor treasurer's office on how you collect those taxes. And you've got to work out in your particular county what's the arrangement that you're using for that in terms of your workflow.
But if it's a quitclaim deed, you don't... Right? You could...
Exactly.
Yeah. Anything that doesn't require CRD.
Yeah. Well, if it's a $1.65 deed tax, yeah. I have quitclaim deeds and more deeds.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying anything non-CRD.
Right, to go through.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
But perhaps not only to the Recorders Association, perhaps we should send the communique also to our auditor treasurers so they know this may be coming to them. Ryan, what do you think?
I can only hear parts of it.
Go ahead, Mike.
We're kind of discussing a communication to the recorders to remind and let them know that they can be doing electronic recording for Model 2 documents. Okay. And then we just were discussing, and that, of course, raises the issue of what you raised before, Ryan, about the connection between recorder, auditors, and treasurers, and that maybe that communication also needs to include the auditor treasurers, because in those counties that are taking mortgages and deeds, they've got to figure out their workflow process for how they're going to be handling mortgages in the Model 2 electronic recording environment, and how you're going to be handling deeds that don't require a CRV right now, which you could be using as a Model 2 electronic recorded document.
Now, my philosophy is on that, Mike, it takes them how long to delete an email if they really don't want to see it? I say send it. There would be absolutely no negatives I could see by including more people in it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll connect with you about the draft on that communique then, too.
Okay.
And then maybe it can come out to both, to the whole MAKO group. Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. Good catch, good comment. Thank you. Hearing nothing else, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
All so moved. It's going to have to be Ryan that seconds.
I heard Ryan second. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, ayes. Ryan, good luck with your tax collections up there.
Oh, thank you. It's been a busy day today, let me tell you.
Thank you much for joining us. Appreciate
it. You guys have a great day.
Pam, thank you very much. Always appreciate it.
Yes, and thank you, Pam, for including me in.
Yep.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye, Tim.
Okay, Diane.
Bye, Ryan.
You're on. I can